The General Services Administration's trying to help small businesses with a new rule, but that new rule might actually wind up hurting the small businesses it's supposed to help. Larry Allen is the president of Allen Federal, and he is the author of the weekly newsletter, The Week Ahead. And, Larry, I swear you're not paying me to say this, but I use The Week Ahead. It's one of the things I always start my week off with, so I appreciate you keeping me on the list.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that.
You write in the first piece that you have in the newsletter today, and I'll give you a chance. If you haven't subscribed to Larry's newsletter yet, I'll give him a chance to plug it later on in our conversation. But you're writing about this new rule, took effect November 2nd. Explain it to me, though, as somebody who's not a contracting expert like you are.
Well, Francis, this new rule really allows government contracting officers kind of to do something that a lot of them have already been doing, although without the regulatory authority to do so, and that is to set aside certain types of purchases under GSA multiple award schedule contracts for small businesses. It is a rule that came out says that contracting officers may set aside schedule purchases for small firms. It doesn't require them to, and it's all coming from legislation that was passed the fall of 2010 by Congress that did a whole lot of things to help small businesses. This was one of them.
You write, the rule, however, creates a conundrum. While it may help small business prime contractors, many more small firms are participating dealers or subcontractors to large schedule contractors. Why is that a bad thing for the small folks?
Well, I think there's a tendency sometimes on the part of legislators and regulators to look at small businesses as a monolith. And the fact is, small businesses come in all types of different varieties. There are some very small businesses, for example, that are better suited and situated to be subcontractors or suppliers to larger primes. There are some small businesses that can be prime contractors on their own. And this interim rule, Francis, helps that latter group of small businesses, the ones that are prime contractors and can do their own thing. But it comes, I think, at the expense of the smaller businesses, the ones that aren't set up to be prime contractors and nevertheless are still a very important part of the federal contracting arena, people that are supplying goods and services to federal agencies every day of the week. They're just doing it through a contract held by a larger business. And, you know, those are the firms that I think are going to end up being affected negatively by this interim rule. So the interim rule helps some small businesses, but it's going to hurt some others. So Congress and the regulatory body, yet again, picking winners and losers through their own actions.
You call these folks the small of the small, and I wonder if you see this, if there's a potential to maybe hurt some small businesses at the expense of others. Is this a net gain for small business when it comes to doing business with the government, or doesn't it really matter because the possibility of inflicting a little bit of hurt on some folks isn't enough to make up for the benefit that it might do for others?
Well, it's a great Washington, D.C. answer, Francis, and that is it depends. It depends on the type of small business you are. If you are set up to be a prime contractor and you have the overhead to be able to do that and you're on the GSA schedule, you're going to like this interim rule. If, on the other hand, you are one of the many, many more businesses out there that is maybe a participating dealer or a distributor for a large business, and that's how you make your living, this could hurt you because that larger business that you're doing business with could now be shut out of a procurement that they otherwise might have been able to participate in if an agency decides to set aside the procurement for a small business prime contractor.
I guess the other question that came out of this as it comes from the very first sentence of what you wrote, a new interim rule effective November 2nd. Is it just me, or does it seem like there's a million interim rules all of a sudden over the past, say, 6 to 12 months, and not just in contracting all over government, but in contracting, too? It just seems like every time you turn around, there's a new interim rule about something. Is it just me, or is that the case?
No, I don't think it's just you, Francis. I think that it's a viable premise to say that there have been a lot of regulatory actions. Not necessarily uncommon to see a lot of regulatory activity leading up to a presidential election. You know, we are about a year out now from another presidential election, and you would expect to see some broad-based regulatory activity as we gear up to the election with an administration that may be looking to solidify its bona fides with certain support groups. And also, this time around, you have to remember a lot of those regulations have likely been in banking and finance, given all of the downside activity we've had in that sector.
The segment of your newsletter talking about the GSA schedule set-asides is a good one. You also are writing in the newsletter this week about suspension and debarment. We had some folks on talking about that last week from a legal perspective, and you're citing a lawyer acquaintance of yours calling it the death penalty for contracting, and he's not the first person to call it that. Is it really that, though, from a contracting perspective, too, or just a legal perspective?
No, I think from a contracting perspective, suspension or debarment can be very detrimental to a company doing business with the government, because being on that suspended or debarred list, Francis, doesn't just mean that you're, as a company, precluded from doing federal government business. It means that you're not going to be doing any state or local government business as well. You're not going to be able to be a subcontractor to a government prime contractor. So all of those segments of your business are going to be shut down during the term of your suspension or debarment, which means to me that you'd better have some pretty robust commercial business that's not at all affiliated with your federal business, because that's the only thing that has a chance of surviving. But I think that people also have a tendency sometimes to forget that it's not just corporations that find themselves on the suspended or debarred list. It can be individuals. In fact, in a couple of recent cases, debarring officials have gone out of their way to say, we mean for these specific individuals in certain companies to be debarred. And that maybe not be the death penalty for the company's business, but it certainly does make it difficult for you to make a living as a person.
How do I get the newsletter if I don't already, Larry?
Shoot us an email, Francis, info@allenfederal.com, and we'll take care of it.
All right. Thanks very much, Larry. I appreciate you being on this afternoon.
Yes, sir.